Welcome to That's What She Said, a podcast of sermons at Galileo Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. Galileo exists to seek and shelter spiritual refugees, who for us are people for whom the church has become boring, irrelevant, exclusive, or even painful, especially people who have been pushed out because of their gender or sexuality. If you yourself are a spiritual refugee, we're especially glad you're listening. And if you find this podcast helpful in your theological rehabilitation, consider partnering with us in its production. Become a financial sponsor of That's What She Said on Patreon, a platform for supporting content you love. Thanks!
Hey, church. I came back. I'm Katie. My pronouns are she, her, and I am the lead evangelist here at Galileo Church. I was out of town last weekend in Indianapolis for a meeting of the Louisville Institute. That's a board that I serve on, a nonprofit that distributes grants to clergy and to academics in the fields of theology and religious studies. And a few times a year, we get together and get to hear people's best ideas and their big dreams. And we have about $18 million to help them make those dreams come true. Isn't that cool? That's really cool. So that's what I was doing. Thank you for the time away and for, you know, letting me come back. I always appreciate that, the open door, and your bright faces are a gift. Thank you. To those of you who are joining us online tonight, thank you for being here with us. Maybe you're local and joining us online because it's been a rainy day, and maybe you just wanted to stay in your pajamas. I totally get that. I barely got dressed to get over here tonight. But I'm glad to be with y'all. We're nearing the end of the worship series that we've been in over these last several weeks of Eastertide, a series called Beholding, How We See Each Other. And over these weeks, we've been reading together the early stories in the Gospel of Mark. But as we've been reading them, we've been applying a lens of interpretation. And the lens each week comes from the covenant of co-conspiracy that you've been hearing about tonight that we're going to have a chance to re-up next week at Pentecost. And thinking about the practices that we aspire to when we say yes to the co-conspiracy, to co-conspire together again for another year. For those of you who are new in the space, that's our way of talking about membership, except we think membership stinks. And what we'd rather do is actually have a really delicious secret that we work on together all the time. The secret of the gospel of God's inclusion for people just like us. It's amazing. That's what we co-conspire on. So we've been talking over the weeks, one or two at a time, about the practices of the co-conspiracy. And I just want to remind you of what you've already heard. You can find these also on our website. They're not a secret. And next week, we'll be asking each other if we want to try to do these things again for the year to come. Here they are. We agree in the co-conspiracy to contemplate our baptism, past or future. Notice it doesn't say you have to be baptized or how you have to have done that, but that you agree to consider that as a piece of your identity, my identity. We promise to be present the best we can at gatherings of the church. The best we can is something we threw in there when we started broadcasting online. We wanted to make sure we were being inclusive of people who might not be able to get their bodies in the space, but who were present with us nonetheless. Third, the cultivation of spiritual gifts for the life of our church and community. That is to say, you know how to do something. I don't necessarily know what that is, but you do. And whatever it is, we're hopeful that it will come out for the sake of our life together. Fourth, the sharing of material resources to further the church's goals. It might be money, but it might be a crock pot, or it might be a car, or a pickup bed for moving stuff, or an iPad you don't use anymore, or material things that you have that could help us fulfill our missional priorities together. Five, extension of the church's welcome to beloveds, neighbors, strangers, and enemies. This is how we welcome each other, how we keep on doing church for people who aren't here yet. Six, gracious receipt of care from the church family. That means being vulnerable enough to let the people help you when you need help. That's the hardest one for a lot of us, but so important. And then finally, we've talked together about participation in the church's discernment of our next steps together. That is to say, we're not very hierarchical around here. We're actually looking for a conversation about what we think the church ought to be about, how we ought to go about doing the things we think God is asking us to do. So here we are at the end of the series, and tonight I'm going to spend some time just trying to sum up what we've been talking about with respect to the co-conspiracy and the beholding that has been kind of mysterious, a little bit nebulous through these weeks. We're reading tonight from Mark chapter 3, the very end of that chapter, picking up where we left off from last week, Mark chapter 3, verses 31 through 35. Then Jesus' mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, hey, your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you. And he replied, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is the rare sermon where I actually have something to suggest that you do at the end. I know. So if you need to check out for a few minutes, do it now and then come back. Okay. Everyone who knew my grandmother and granddaddy came in through the back door. The back door opened directly into their den, not into the formal living room at the front of the house. The back door was behind the chairs that belonged to each of them. His, a lazy boy recliner. Hers, a more ladylike, by the standards of the greatest generation, upholstered chair, golden green, on a swivel base. After Granddad died, the pair of chairs stayed in place, and Grandmother sat exactly where she always had, watching TV and working her crosswords and talking to her 117 best friends on the telephone with a long cord that she snaked in from the kitchen until someone arranged for the phone company to come and install a jack in the wall by her chair in the den. One of the best gifts my grandmother gave to the people she loved was the sense that she was waiting, always, to hear the sound of her back door opening. Without fail, she would turn around, swivel in that chair, with a look of such joyful expectation to greet the exhausted, frazzled kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, tumbling through the door with duffel bags and diaper bags and laundry bags and grocery bags. And my grandmother, God love her, she exclaimed every single time the back door opened and she saw you come in, well, look who's here. As if she had no idea you were coming. As if every time you walked into her house was a delightful gift. No matter where you had come from, or how long you had been away, or how much baggage you were carrying on your body or in your spirit. Well, look who's here, she would say. And in the happy surprise on her face, I could see about myself what my grandmother saw in me. My belovedness reflected in her clear eyes, my welcome created in the lift of her face and the lilt of her voice. Well, look who's here. Everybody should have a grandmother like that. Not everybody does. I have sometimes read Mark 3, 31 through 35, about Jesus ignoring the visit from Mother Mary and his siblings in favor of the anonymous crowd blocking their access to him as a snarky rejection of the sentimentality of family values. It's true that it's difficult to make a biblical case for the traditional cishet patriarchal nuclear family if you follow Jesus too closely. You'll end up with pregnant unwed teenagers spouting socialist economics, tweens who run away and diss their parents in public, breadwinners who ditch their jobs and spouses and kids for a perpetual road trip with the boys, women who leave their husbands and drain the family assets to support the Messiah they love a little more. And this story, and a couple more like it, where grown-ass Jesus refuses conversation with his mom, and his siblings in favor of the strays he keeps picking up while he travels through Galilee. But reading this time around, I catch a middle moment between the announcement of Mary's arrival at the crowded house and his announcement of the family of believers, a middle moment where he asks the question, "Who are my mother and my siblings?" And I wonder this time around if he might be asking himself, considering whether it's necessary for him to give up this too, the consolation of a family that loves him, that would be happy to see him come in the back door, that would save him a place at the dinner table and make all his favorite foods if he would just come home. I wonder if we catch in that middle moment his dawning recognition that just as he has emptied himself of divinity to identify completely with human beings, just as he has let go the material comforts of home and possessions to identify completely with the poor, just as he has shunned the respectability of the religious elite to identify completely with the excommunicated, I wonder if just now he is realizing that here is another thing he must relinquish for the sake of solidarity with those lost and lonely souls he came here to love, those whose families of origin could not, would not be for them what a family ought to be. Who are my mother and my siblings? He wonders in that middle moment, perhaps only to himself, before he swivels toward the crowd at his feet with a look of joyful expectation on his face. "Well, look who's here," he exclaims. "Here are my mother and my siblings. Whoever does the will of God," we would say, "whoever wants what God wants is my brother and my sister and my mother." And just like that, we are all of us in. Ross Gay has this poem. I know. Why don't I marry him? Except that this month I'm married 33 years, actually, to another man, which is itself a poem. Thank you. Ross Gay has this book-length poem called, guess what? Beholding. And I've read it through 7 or 8 times, all the way through, trying to just keep up with the tumble of metaphors. And believe me, I was tempted to forgo writing any sermon for tonight and instead just read you the poem. Because explaining poems is a crime, and it will never do to you in the explaining what it does to me in the reading. But seeing as how I derived the title and the theme for this worship series from it and have held it in my mind all these weeks, it deserves our attention, our beholding, if you will. Because behold, this is the great feat of Ross Gay's poem, that for 98 pages, the poet is playing with a single word, beholding, which means paying attention to, looking at, but grander than that, more grandmotherly than that. It means, well, look who's here. Behold. And For Ross, I feel like I can call him that. I'm sure he wouldn't mind. For Ross, to truly behold someone is to be holding them. To really see someone at their most vulnerable, whether in joy or sorrow, in peril or in power, to have eyes to see, Jesus would have said, is to receive that one into yourself, into your life, into your arms, and to lend yourself to their lifting, to shift your strength to their spirit, to desire for and with them all that they are meant to have and to be, to become theirs and they yours. To behold, Ross says, is to be holding. Oh, the poem is better, beloveds. Woven into its lines is Ross's insistence that beholding, with this double definition, is not a passive reception, like seeing with your eyes whatever is in front of you, but a practice, a set of practices, an active choice embodied. The practice of seeing with the eyes of your heart, the Apostle Paul would say, to open the eyes of your heart so as to be holding the one you behold. A set of practices like, say, the set that comes with our covenant of co-conspiracy. The practices that draw us together, that help us to behold each other, that help us beholding each other the way Jesus could behold and beholding the crowd at his feet. We're talking about practice, like the practice of how we greet each other when we come into the Big Red Barn or into the Inside Out chat on a Sunday afternoon, how we swivel in our chairs when we hear the door creaking, how we notice when a new name pops up on the screen, how our faces light up, how we register our delight, how we call each other's names from a distance away. Well, look who's here. Beloveds, I mean to say, there are so many places in this world where people might not want you, where they might be too tired or too afraid or too mean or just too wrapped up in their own shit to welcome you into their hearts. But this is not that place. Behold. Beheld. During the pandemic, and the couple years worth of the pandemic's long, lingering tail, a couple things happened to Galileo Church. Well, a lot of things happened, but these are the ones that are salient for today. One is, we lost a lot of people from our church. Some folks who had been here for years just didn't come back after we all went home. If you meet someone who was with Galileo Church before the pandemic, something you should know is we are carrying some grief in our hearts for people who are not here anymore, people we still love, some that we aren't sure why they didn't come back, and some we know why they didn't come back, and it doesn't feel any better. And on a side note, it wasn't just the pandemic what done it. In the second half of last year, we experienced a big fadeaway of a lot of folks. Just when we thought we were getting our shit together after COVID in the second half of 2023, we experienced a community catastrophe and a bunch of hate-mongering protesters. And some folks did not come here for either act of that drama. I get it. There were some Sundays last year I didn't want to come here for that drama. But the second thing that happened is we got a lot of new people in our church, like a lot of new faces, new families, new quirky queer beloveds on site and online. exactly the kind of people that we are always seeking, always hoping to know more of. I haven't done the math, but on any given Sunday, my gut says that there are as many people here and online that I have known for less than a year as there are folks that I've known for a year or more. And I want to say as plainly as I can, with as much Jesus-y, Ross Gay, grandmotherly energy as I can muster, well, look who's here. Behold, here are my mother and my sisters and my brothers, and not just mine, it's all of us. Behold, all of us beholding, all of us practicing the practices, we're talking about practice, of joyous welcome, the eyes of our hearts wide open to each other. And you might be thinking, oh, I hope you are thinking, how am I supposed to behold and be holding all these people, these new ones and these old ones, all the ones whose names I don't even know? If you are thinking that, behold, I have been thinking that too, along with the missional logistics team and the spiritual care team, and we've got an idea. Y'all know that I'm going on sabbatical soon, yeah? Meaning, starting in June, I'm taking a long Sabbath rest over the summer. I'm asking my spirit and body to be holding little else than my own spirit and body for a little while, so that I can come back to you in the fall, ready to behold and be holding you again. And while I'm gone, you have a chance to practice the beholding, or as we say around here, to practice doing real relationship, no bullshit ever. It's a three-part plan, the one we've made, the details of which I'm going to send you in writing soon. I see how ready you are to take notes. Don't worry about it. I'll send it to you in writing soon. I'm kidding. Just for now, just for tonight, the broad outlines. First, on June 29th, that's a Saturday, you are all invited to a half-day workshop on genograms. That includes folks online. It'll be live streamed for you. Genograms are a way of knowing yourself in the context of your family history for the sake of healthy relationships in the present moment. Following that genogram workshop, Galileo Church is going to subsidize a one-hour one-on-one private session for you with our genogram expert, who's going to talk through your family tree with you and all of the inherited dysfunction and trauma and gifts that you were born into. You're going to sign up for an appointment. $20 is all you'll pay. We're catching the rest. It might be the best $20 you've ever spent. If you don't have $20, we're going to take care of that part too. We'll tell you how. Second thing, through the summer, the whole summer long, the MLT and the SCT are going to be hosting several cohort gatherings for dinner and conversation. You're going to be invited to sit down with people who share something vital in common with you and talk with them about how it feels to be you and how our church can be the best possible church for you. Your cohort is only going to meet once in the summer, but y'all could decide that what you really want is to spend more time together in seasons to come. The MLT and the SCT folks want to learn from you how we can support, say, trans women at Galileo Church, or adoptive parents at Galileo Church, or neurodiverse adults at Galileo Church, etc., etc. We'll publish a schedule soon. Your church leaders, I'm saying, want to behold you so that we can be holding you better and better all the time. Third part, and this one is so good. All summer long, you are invited to meet up for one-on-ones, that is, to get together for coffee with some Galileo person that you don't already know well and have a conversation. That's it. Just get with someone you don't already know well and talk. And we're hoping that all together, Galileo Church will rack up 100 one-on-ones before I get back in September. Are you doing the math? How many do you want to do? Now, to incentivize these one-on-ones, y'all just give me a drum roll, please. This is really the coolest part. To incentivize these one-on-ones, we're going to give you and your potential new friend a coupon for 2 free drinks at Buongiorno, which is David and Lena Clark's coffee shop in Grapevine or Fort Worth. So this is going to cost you any money. Just an hour spent with a potential new friend having conversation. If you're not local, we're going to send you a gift card for Starbucks so that you can get coffee with someone here in Fort Worth or somebody who is as far away as you are. And we have ideas about how Inside Out folks can connect with people that you haven't met yet. That information will be in writing coming soon. That's it. That's the beholding plan, fam. Genograms, cohort gatherings, one-on-ones. That's the plan for practicing our real relationship, no bullshit ever. That's the plan for emerging, please God, from a long, difficult season in the life of our church. That is the plan for beholding each other and how we'll be holding each other and how each of us will know that we are being held and each of us will know that we are beholden to each other and to the one who let go his family to make family out of us, to behold us, to be holding us, world without end. Amen.
Thanks for listening to That's What She Said. If what you've heard is helpful, consider becoming a patron of its production by joining our subscribers on Patreon. This podcast is preached almost always by our lead evangelist, Reverend Dr. Katie Hayes. Galileo Church has 5 missional priorities. We do justice for LGBTQ+ people and support the people who love them. We do kindness around mental health and mental illness, and we celebrate neurodiversity. We do beauty for our God who is beautiful. We do real relationship, no bullshit, ever. And we do whatever it takes to share this good news with the world God still loves. To support our missional priorities, go to galileochurch.org and click on Share with Us. You'll have options to contribute through Venmo, PayPal, or your bank account. And if you're kind enough to share your contact information with us, we'll continually send you thanks. Peace.